Vov Tammuz, Tuesday the 19th of June, Rabbi Sholom Segal, The Kohen and the Cow, The Inside Story. This week's Torahway has been sponsored by Lili Nishmas, Rochel Freda Aleho Sholom, Bas Yibod L'chaim Tovim, Rabbi Eliezer Mordechai Neyoi.
Just one word about the title. When Dudi Iskovitz phoned up last week, just to confirm that I would be giving the shiur this morning, he sounded a little bit hesitant and said, what exactly is the title again? So I said, The Kohen and the Cow, The Inside Story. I couldn't see any problem with that. Couldn't see it was too controversial. So he said, oh, that's all right. He said, he thought I'd said The Kohen, the Cow, The Inside Story. As Hashkocha would have it, it actually ended up on the sheet. Nonetheless, it did end up on the sheet as the Kohen the Cow. So I do apologise for any offence to any fellow, well, not fellow Kohenim, but to any Kohenim. The people are probably assuming we're going to be talking about the Parah Adumah, which is true and isn't true. That's not the intention in the Kohen and the Cow. It's two separate shiders. Bezus Hashem will come to very soon. But just one Hakdamah before we come to the two shiders which Bezus Hashem will discuss. There is a sugya in the first parak of Chulin around Daf Yud Aleph, which discusses whether we can rely on Rov, whether we can rely on majority in order to pasken halacha. So amongst the various rites the Gemara does bring, is one of them is from the Parah Adumah. The Torah calls the Parah Adumah, calls it a chatos. The fact that the Torah calls it a chatos means that it is, like all other korbanos, cannot be a trefa. It, strictly speaking, should have to be checked for the yudches trefas, for the 18 signs of it being a trefa, meaning it will not be able to live out the year. And that's what you'd expect. However, there's a problem in terms of Matthias, because the Gemara brings a drasha, it says, V'shachat o'soch lefonov, one should sheft, it's Machlokes in the Gemara and Yuma, exactly who's shefting, what's going on there, but the Parah Adumah is shefted, and two psukim later it says, V'sorath es ha'parah le'inov, and he should burn the cow in front of him. And the Gemara makes a hekush, V'sorath dumyo de v'shachat, that the sereifah has to be done similar to the shechting. Just like when you shecht the animal, you shecht the cow, it's going to be shalema, it will be complete, it hasn't been dissected in any way. So too, when you burn it up, it cannot have been previously flayed, dissected, checked in any way. But if you can't dissect it, you can't flay it, how exactly are you going to, how are you going to check for the yudches trefus? How are you going to ascertain that it's not one of the, doesn't have any of the signs of trefa? So the Gemara says, Elamah, you see from here that we rely on Rov, we apply the principle of majority, since the majority of animals are not trefas, so that's what we have to apply over here. And it's one of a string of rides in the Gemara, and the Machzman of the Gemara over the page, the Alephom of Deis, is that, you know what, you can only bring all these rides to prove one thing, and that is, Heichad Yevshel Avareh, where you cannot, there's no way, for one reason or another, there's no way for me to be Mavareh the Sofik, to ascertain as to what's going on over here. In such an instance, you can rely on Rov. In a case where you cannot be Mavaro, then you can rely on Rov. If you can be Mavaro, could you rely on Rov? Could you not? That's a discussion, possibly a Machalik Rishonim, as to how exactly it comes out of Maskon in terms of that. So, in light of that Gemara, we have two very interesting Shaidas. The first Shaida is one you've probably heard before, and that's the Kohen. What's the Kohen? The Mogen Avraham brings in Shin Mem Gimel, he brings from the Rekeach, Sachi Ashach, B'Shem the Rekeach, an Eishes Kohen, a woman who's married to a Kohen, and she's pregnant. Can she go into a room where there is a mace? The halacha is that a male Kohen cannot come into contact or even be under the same roof as a mace, contracting the Tumas Meis. However, a female Kohenes, can. There's no problem. Now, obviously for an Eishes Kohen, Bechlal, there's nothing to talk about. She may not even be a Bas Kohen. The problem over here is, she's carrying a baby, and she doesn't know, is it a boy or is it a girl? So the Rekeach says, you've got a Svek Sveka, and based on this Svek Sveka, she can go into the room. What's the Svek Sveka? The double Sofik is like this. The number one It could be, it's a sophic whether she's carrying a boy or a girl. If she's carrying a girl, there's no problem whatsoever. But even if she's carrying a boy, it could be a nephew, it could be a stillborn. So even from the Zacharim, could be there won't be any problem. Sorry? The Chassam Sofer speaks about whether you can say Ubi Yerechim. He says that it won't work. Mimono Shoch, you'll end up, he says you're trying to take the rope at both ends. He says it won't work. But the Chassam Sofer in a Teshuvah, he says, it seems it doesn't really mean what the normal application of sex faker, because the second Sofik, Baruch Hashem, is not really, you can't call that a Sofik. We're talking about, if you want statistics, as Rabbi Professor Steinberg, Avraham Steinberg, he puts it, he says, we're talking about any birth, any pregnancy which makes it into the ninth month, we're talking about less than 1%, Baruch Hashem, of Nefonim. So to call that a Sofik is very, very difficult. More likely what the Rekeach means to say is, it's a Roif. You find this in the Gemara, we say, you've got a Mechassal Tzachorim, Mechassal Nekevos, out of, let's say, 1,000 births, we can assume 500 will be boys, 500 will be girls. But you don't have a Roif in either direction. But of the Zachorim, of the males, we've got a meal. It's maybe one out of the 500, which will be a stillbirth, stillborn. And therefore, we've only got 499 out of the 1,000 would be a problem in terms of going into the building. And therefore, you've got a Roif, which would not be a problem. And in light of the lack of ability to be Mevarer, the Sofik, the woman can go into the building, even though there's a mace there.
Did you say this was in the ninth month? Did you say that?
I'm coming to that in a second. Coming to that. Okay, we'll come to that in a second. Yeah, I'll come to that.
It's the same statistic with the female. You've got one in 500.
It doesn't matter that it's...
You're back to evens.
No, you're not. Because if I've got 1,000 babies,
yes,
500 are girls. Whether they're stillborn, whether they're healthy babies, 500 are not a problem. So that's straight away 500 outs are not a problem. Of the 500 boys, 499 are going to be an issue, and one won't be an issue. So now I've got 501 out of the 1,000, no problem whatsoever.
Have you got 499 against 499?
No, but it's not, because the two which were Nephilim are also not a problem. You can't disregard them on both sides. Think about it.
Well, you can.
You can't. Think about it. Out of the 1,000 births...
Yeah, you've got 499...
It doesn't matter, but the two, but when this woman is going in, when this woman goes in, her question is based on statistics, is she going to have a baby, which is both healthy and is a zocher? Probability dictates, on the example we've just given, it's 499 over 1,000, which is less than right. I'm telling you, it definitely works.
An unhealthy baby's born, it's going to die in 30 days, still can't make that baby.
Sorry?
If you have an unhealthy baby that's born, which does survive for 30 days...
And I'm not talking about that. Keep it to the case of,
keep it simple.
Nephil, yeah. Right? But the maths, there's no question on the maths. That's definitely, I'm telling you, no question on that. If you want, I'll explain it again afterwards.
Someone here asked that the statistics show that more girls are born than boys.
Right, I realise that. That's why I said, but from Chazal's point of view, they assume it to be half-half. Enochan, I'm aware they say it's 51 to 49 or something like that. The question is how reliable these statistics are anyway. But, okay, the way Chazal look at it is like that. Now, the Magen Avraham asks, he says, he doesn't understand it. Why do you have to come onto the Svek Sveikah? We've got a cloud of Tumah Balua. The fetus is swallowed up, as it were, inside the mother. There's no problem of Tumah anyway. So the Nesiv Chaim and various others, Mr. Gura brings it, says we're talking about a woman, not just in the ninth month of pregnancy, she's gone into labor. And therefore her question is, can she go into this building to give birth there? So, on the contrary, that's exactly the point. So therefore, she wants to go into the nearest building, but there's a mace there. Can she go in there or not? So that's the question over here. You can't rely on Tumah Balua, because I know she's going to give birth now. And therefore, the question is, can you rely on Svek Sveikah or not? And that's what the Rokeach, call it Svek Sveikah, call it Roif, he says there's no problem whatsoever, that's what we rely upon. The Shaida is today, have things changed? Because with the advent of ultrasound, many women have ultrasound anyway. A lot of them don't want to know, although they're given the option, they don't want to know whether it's going to be a boy or girl. The reliability of it is well known. There's the number of cases where they've been told it's going to be a girl, and they do a whole colour scheme for their first child. They paint it pink, etc., and then it turns out it's a boy. There's actually whether it's a true story or not, I don't know, but there's an interesting shayla which came about through this. And that was a case of a man, his wife, don't ask questions, I might submit that his wife was literally it was imminent the child was about to be born. So he said, Shacharis is coming, we know what we want to name her, so I'm going off to shul, and by the time it comes, I said, don't ask questions, he said he's going off to shul, by the time he comes leaning, knew he would have been born, he'll give the name. So off he goes to shul, he gets an aliyah, he gives the name, he's got, I don't know, Rochel Sprinzer. Anyway, he comes back, and somebody comes down and says, Mazel Tov, the bris should be beit of his money. He says, bris? What are you talking about? He says, we were told it's a girl. So the shayla was then, what do you do in terms of name? Can you drop the name or do you just add a name? So if you ever hear somebody be called up, you know, now Yamo Targon or Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Avraham Yitzchok, Rochel Sprinzer, you'll know what happened. But in all seriousness, this is actually a factor. This is a factor to be taken into account. How reliable are the ultrasound tests? But let's assume for the time being it would be reliable. If it is a reliable means of knowing whether it's going to be a boy or girl, is a woman A, mechuyeves to undergo that to find out whether it's a boy or girl? As I said, many people don't want to find out. Basically, there's a medrash which seems to suggest that there's an inyan not to know. A bit like Hanistoris Hashem, and they can leave that. Whatever has to be done medically is one thing, but to find out these things, leave it till the time is right. But in light of the halakhic gain in it, is a woman mukhuyevas? And even if she's not mukhuyevas, is it a good thing to do to find out? Would you say no? Just leave well alone. Leave it. Rely on the robe, and that's it. That's shayla number one. Shayla number two is like this. Somebody offered me a coffee before, and when I turned it down, he said, he assures me that today the milk is definitely kosher. But in light of the following shayla, this is a serious shayla, which is you will find actually that there's one particularly big posek who doesn't drink milk anymore because of problems of trade. So I'll explain to you what I mean. That's not what I meant though. But when you eat meat, obviously the meat has been checked that it's not a trefa. They check the animal. And then, as we said, there are Yudches Trefis, but the majority of the Yudches Trefis we don't bother checking for anymore. It's too much of a tircham, we can rely on goiv, as we said. It's a miut, she'enu motzu, it's a minority. The other Trefis, which they don't check for, are generally a minority case, which is not motzu, it's not frequent at all, and therefore we don't bother checking for it because of the tircham. The common one which is checked for is obviously it's the lungs. The lungs is a miut motzu. It's a very frequent miut, but where there are problematic lesions, punctures in the lung, etc. There are one or two other interesting shaylas which today certain other trefas are checked for in some places. For example, the stomach, the keva, because of a condition of bloat, when an animal is unable to get rid of its excess wind, so they will, and they can see the animal's about to drop dead, so they put a tube directly into the, they puncture all the way through to the keva, into the stomach, and let the air out through that. There's a way of actually checking for it. They show it. They call it the zyga. You can actually see it looks like a sort of a clock on the inside of the... if you look at Chulin illuminated, you'll find nice pictures of it. So there are places which check for it. But there are halal. We don't check for most of the Yudches Trefis. What about when it comes to drinking milk, however? How can you drink milk? We can't check for the animal. If the milk comes from a trefa animal, you also can't have the milk. The answer to that is, again, we rely on roiv. It's the efshel avara. Although, yes, the chances of there being a hole in the lung are a miut motsui, but it's a roiv that it's not the case, and it's efshel avara, because short of milking the cow and then shefting it, there's no way of really finding out. So therefore, based on that, we can rely on the roiv and drink the milk. As I said, there is one person who says, because of all different statistics, and that's where the maths gets more complicated, he finds that today you don't necessarily have a rove of kosher animals where the milk is coming from. He's got a hole, it gets into all the dinim of rove, etc. But the general consensus is that we don't have this problem, especially as many kosher sports, they will not milk, they'll only take cows, which they have the medical records, so they can see any operations that's undergone, they can actually see what they're dealing with.
But we don't know as long as it's alive.
Sorry?
As long as that animal is
No. Yudches Trefis, even if today There's a chazanish about this. Even if today, yotches treifos, animals can survive, human beings can survive yotches treifos, it doesn't change the halacha. There's a chazanish about it.
I was thinking, do we know that the milk follows the cow, yeah?
Follows, yeah, there, that is our law, yeah. Theoretically, if I knew this animal was a treif, I wouldn't be able to drink the milk. But seeing as I don't know it, I can rely on Roy. Now, the question is, today, once again, we've got, whether it's x-rays, whether it's MRI, whether it's ultrasound, theoretically, there is a way to be mavara each cow, whether it's a treif or not. So, once again, is there any chiyuv? Have you ever heard of such thing, a chiyuv, to at the same time as milking the cow, have it sort of pass through some sort of x-ray machine to check it?
No.
But on the other hand, it is Efshel Avara today.
Super badats.
Huh? Yeah, it'd be super, super badats, correct. But the, again, it's Efshel Avara today. Why do we rely on Rov? Or do you say, no, that's, you're not mechuyav to go down this route, you just go be normal and go with the normal way of checking things. In the normal fashion of checking things, there's no way for me to be mavarilis. There is a teshuvah from the Yad Eliyahu. The Yad Eliyahu, he said there was a Rav who actually did this in practice. There was a case where a trefer bird, the bird which was a trefer, got mixed up with other birds. There was no bittle, and obviously they had a problem on their hands. So he said he could tell through some form of Ruach HaKodesh, he could feel where the tumor was. Well, this is the Shaila. The Yad Eliyahu discussed this, and this Rav said he can see where the tumor is. Shari, he knows exactly which bird it was. And the Yad Eliyahu discusses, can we rely on that? He says, Zichah, interestingly enough, this part is not quoted, but he says, Zichah l'chumra, you'd have to be cheshish for it. But to use it l'kula, could you rely on that l'kula? He's not so sure. He brings rayas l'kano l'kam, all the rayas he's able to be doicha, and it doesn't seem to come to an absolute conclusion on that. But it seems accepted, and that's the way sort of it is quoted, that we don't rely on things like Ruach HaKodesh and the like. They talk about whether you could say Torah Lev Hashemayim. He says that's not a raya because he said Torah Lev Hashemayim, you would only find where there's a machlokes. He says, does that mean in all cases we can't say that? He says you've got no raya. He talks about the raya from Avimelech with Avram. It says, you know, give him back v'yispalavaz kovechiei, right? Because he's a novihu. So therefore, does that show you can rely on the board? You say no. Again, he's doing that lie because Avraham Avinu, he knew he was going to have a son. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already told him he would have a son. Yitzchak would be born. And therefore, if anything had happened between Avimelech and Sarah, she would be forbidden to him. And he wouldn't be able to have what would happen to the Nebuah? So therefore, there is different. He goes through the rise of the Khan of the Khan, and he's, at the end of it, he doesn't seem to have an absolute raya one way or the other. You could say here, on the other hand, we're not talking about Torah Bashomayim or Ruach HaKodesh, we're seeing the Metzius. So there's an interesting raya. There's an interesting raya based on a Yonason ben Uzziel in this week's Sedra. The Yonason ben Uzziel, when he takes us through the procedure of the Parah Aduma, so he says in that pasuk, after the shechting of the cow, he writes, V'yad b'kina, betamne tzreifon. You check it for the Yudches tzreifos. So everyone asks, what are you talking about? But the Gemara says in Chulin, not only do we not do that, but number two is, there's no way of doing it, because the animal has to be kept whole. So there's different approaches how to answer this. Some say, well, the Yonason ben Uzziel is at odds with the Gemara, it's two different Mahalchim, two different Shittos, one possibility. Another possibility they go down is the idea that maybe this thing of not being able to dissect the animal is only a lechatchilo, but b'di'evad it's all right. There's a Rambam like that. In fact, if you go back to the Mishnais, certain Rishon in the way they explain the Mishnais, that definitely seems to be the case. There's all sorts of interesting ways of answering this. But I think in terms of originality, the prize has to go to I'm not sure who the first one who said it, but for the Moshe, the Beis Yitzchak brings this, and he says that there's a Tosfos in Shabbos, Daf Chafbeis on the base there, where Tosfos brings a Medrash that says that with the Anani HaKobot, Aaron HaKohen was able to see directly. If you were carrying a bag, you could see directly into your bag. It became somewhat opaque. You could see directly through and you could see what was in your bag. So therefore they want to say that the Yonason ben Uzziel was only talking about the first Parah Aduma. The first Parah Aduma is called Paras Moshe. That first one, at that time they had the Anani HaKovod, so therefore that one they could check for the Yod Ches Treifos. Elachanami, the Gemara in Chulin, is talking about subsequent Paras Adumas. Those ones, Elachanami, there's no way of us checking. So there we rely on Rove. We don't have Anani HaKovod. But,
huh? That
The way they bring it is from the Anania pulpit. So there you could manage, you could see the Matthias. So you see from there, maybe we could see from there, that where you can see it using sort of other forms of apparatus, that's good enough. And no longer do we say, EF Shalabara. But there are two possible objections to this. Number one, it's obviously different, in case you haven't realized, and that is because there, your mamash seeing, if I was to dissect the animal, I'd see exactly the same as I'm seeing with the Ananya Kovit. It became like looking through glass. Whereas what we're talking about with this MRI, with this ultrasound, with this X-ray, all you're doing is you are creating an image, but I'm not looking at the inside of the cow, I'm looking at an image. Maybe there's a difference. On the one hand, you could say, well, who cares? I'm just trying to be Mavari the Matthias, don't get lomdish about it. I can see the Matthias. Or do you say, no, the Torah was not Machayev a person to go down this route. If you've got the Ananya Kovit, there's something else. I'm almost seeing it. Maybe that's different. Another possibility is, and this really, it doesn't really make a difference what answer you take. Whatever answer you take, whether it's Ananya Kovit, whether you go down the other lines of saying that there was different, although the Chatzchili are not supposed to dissect the animal, for some reason there it's different. And that is because it could be, this is where I'll just end with this sort of more Machshav or Drush side of it, and that is, it could be there was something a little bit different about the first Parah Adumah. And that is because there's a Rashi in Yomah. It's a difficult Rashi. The Rishash has difficulties with it. But it's black and white in the Ritzvah. That the way the first Parah Adumah, there was a nace that the ashes never ever ran out. The ashes of the first Parah Adumah would never ever run out. Not only that, but all of the subsequent Parah Adumahs, what they would do is they would put a little bit of the ashes from the ashes, the apel of the first Parah Adumah into it. And even when the ashes of the actual Parah Adumah, the subsequent Parah Adumah, ran out, there was a certain amount which remained. That was from the Parah Adumah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Hence, that's how you can have with the Kohen Gadol when they sprinkled on him from the Parah Adumah. It says all of the Parah Adumah, all seven they used. How did you have that? Didn't they run out? The answer is that little bit from the ash, the ephah of the first Parah Adumah, that always remained. Now, before we explain possibly why that had to be like that, you see from there that the first Parah Adumah, it had to be such, it wasn't a question of just relying on Roiv. I'll give you just a marshal. You know, there's when it comes to halacha, we rely on Roiv, we rely on Chazaka, but there's a shaila in the Poskim about whether the Roiv, whether Chazaka actually is Kaveh Adam Metzias. So for example, if a person goes to somebody's house, the person's got a Cheskas Kashrus. I can eat in his house. He's got a Cheskas Kashrus, and even if the Achamel Vesem, I come up and they say, you know what, as it happens, there was a Kashrus problem in his house, he himself didn't even know about it. I will say Chazaka Paskins, as the Achronim explained, that Paskins, and there's no Taina whatsoever leveled against me. But the question is, do you still say that the Timtum Alev, which is created, the Timtum Alev, the spiritual impediment that it creates, is that Tali on the Matthias? Or do you say no? Chazaka Paskins, and it actually makes the situation is 100% kosher. Or do you say no, the Matthias, it can't change the Matthias, Timtum is dependent on the Matthias. And maybe there's discussion in both directions, but there is this possibility that halacha and metzias are separate of one another. So too over here. It's true I can rely on roiv, and I can say this parah adumah is not a treifa. But if the metzias is, that this parah adumah was a treifa, treifa means it cannot have children. Treifa means it will not live beyond 12 months. Two different shittas in the Gemara. The idea of a trefa is it's a symbol of something which does not have continuation. It will not perpetuate. And this is exactly that, this is the exact antithesis of what we needed in the first Parah Adumah. The first Parah Adumah represented, as we'll see, the Nitzchias of Klal Yisrael. And since it represented the Nitzchias of Klal Yisrael, the imperative was that it would be absolutely clear and clean of any sign of trefa whatsoever. Because any sign of treifa indicates that this Parah Adumah is the complete opposite, the complete antithesis of what we're trying to get with this first Parah Adumah. And therefore, in this particular situation, whether you go down the lines of the Ananya Kovit, whether you go down the lines of some other means, it could well be it is different, and even if halachically it's not required to have it checked, because you can rely on roiv, it doesn't necessarily prove that it doesn't... For that particular Parah Adumah, it was different. You may well ask, but why did we all want this? I think there's a very, very beautiful message. And that is because when a person comes into contact with a mace, so he becomes Tommy. Because the mace, the neshama's left, and the body is now going to decompose, it represents the end of a road. But we know that although the body will decompose, there's one part of the body which will not, it's absolutely, you cannot break it. There's Medrashim, and that's the Luzbot. And from that will come Tchiyas HaMeisim. That is the Nitzchias of Klal Yisrael. We will bounce back. Sheva Yipol Tzadik Fekom. The idea is, in fact, the seven Poros Adam has just occurred to me. You've got the Sheva Yipol Tzadik Fekom. It will die seven times. But, even though the Poros Adam, you've got these seven Poros Adam, it died, it was burnt up. And what the Goyim have done, Rahman al Islam, what they've only done to us throughout the generations, HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarantees one thing, and that is, a certain element of their ashes, they can disperse the ashes, they can do what they wish. But Lamaisa, they cannot destroy that Shoresh of Klal Yisrael, and that will, like the Por Aduma, it brings from Tuma to Tahara, so to the Mace will bounce back from Misa to Chaim. Le'otze Lava, it will come back, because you cannot destroy that Nitzchias of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, it could be that that first Por Aduma was unique in that in terms of that. So coming back to where we started, these two shiders, the Kohen and the cow, so it's like this. When it comes to the cow, I've yet to hear of anyone doing it. Especially, as I'm theoretically, is there a mockum for it? As I said, it doesn't seem there is any requirement. It's a tircha, and as we said, it doesn't. And the reliability, at least as of yet, may not be at a level that there would be any chiyuv whatsoever. However, when it comes to the shayla of the kohen, that there are definitely very choshev poskim. Rabbi Yashiv is one of those who holds that, although maybe not, it's not a chiyuv, but he does recommend that a woman should have an ultrasound, if she's an Eishes Kohen, to find out whether she's carrying a boy or girl. And if she is carrying a boy, to try and go to a hospital where there's less chance of running into problems. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yashiv. It's quoted by quite a lot. It seems to be a reliable, often you don't quite know, but it does seem in this case it's a reliable, giving over what Rabbi Yashiv held. Again, he doesn't say Chiyuv, he does not say Chiyuv. But it seems it's an Eitzah Tova to find out and to avoid the problem as much as possible. Other places can hold not like that. Rav Vosner, at the head of them, Rav Vosner says he doesn't feel it's any requirement. Because he says, look, when the woman goes in there, at that time it's Tumah Bluahi, there's no problem whatsoever. Once the child is born, then you can't, the mother needs to be in the hospital, you can't start transporting her, you're worried about when she's in labour. But at that stage she can't be transported. You can't take the baby out of there because the baby needs its mother. So therefore, at that stage, you don't have to make cheshbonus. Other places can say because it's not, as we said, it's not 100% reliable. Until it's 100% reliable, there's nothing, as far as they're concerned, there's nothing to talk about. But a woman who has, you've got this middle of the road shitter who holds, but a woman who has already had the ultrasound because of the medical side of it, so that you've already had it anyway, they hold that in that situation, yes, there is a reason to find out. Don't worry about the medrash. So you've got these three shitters. So to conclude, the cow, I've yet to hear of anyone requiring. And in fact, I'll tell you, Ramanashe Klein, the Mishnah Halachos, he says it can't be that a woman's mechuyevus to find out. He says, have you ever heard of people drinking their milk of having the cow x-ray before? And he actually links the two together. The mice say they're not exactly similar, because one, obviously, there's a much bigger tircha involved. So in the case of the Eishes Kohen, you've got these three shitters. Those who hold that a woman should have it done, it's a good thing to do. Those who hold that she's not mechuyevus whatsoever. And then you've got those in the middle who say, if she's having it done anyway, then why not find out?